Guten Abend, schön Sie zu sehen, dass Sie
Good afternoon.
Nach drei Stunden Film
very happy
immer noch hier
to
sitzen.
See you here. This has been a film
ich freue mich sehr,
of three hours.
Dass wir hier sind, dass Sie jetzt hier sind.
And you're still here, so I'm happy and I'm also happy to welcome
Nord, den Film
Romuald
hat.
Kamaka,
da
the director, Christina Nord.
Film ihr Leben verändert hat,
introduced the film and she said the film had changed her life.
So in der ersten you should Szene, have der been Ausbildung here. In dieser Mississippi
Now in the first episode, scene in the Mississippi episode here,
und ich dachte,
of
obwohl
Brad
ich diese Assoziation erst mehr nicht hatte,
Inglourious
war sie schlagend in dem Moment, wo sie auf dem Tisch I mean, oder in meinem Ohr war.
This is not an association I had, I have to admit.
Sehr passend für
But
diesen Film, weil man ja nicht so
idea,
genau aus den Bildern
actually,
jetzt unterscheiden kann.
If you just see the images,
Krieg, weil sie üben,
you don't know whether they play
sie sich,
war.
Oder,
because
und am Ende
an
eben auch
wissen,
sind wir ja auch in dem Status, ist, wer schießt
Or
auf wen
do
und wie nah
they
ist,
remember,
ist
you
genau.
don't know
und
who
wir sehen, wie sehr
is shooting
die Posen
at whom.
Der Populärkultur
and we do see the poses of pop
haben.
Culture,
ich das mit Brad Pitt ganz toll.
Which are very present with these men, so I like the idea
Frage,
of comparing
war
the scene to Brad
klar?
Pitt. Now my question,
wie sehr sich da die Bilder überlagern,
did you know beforehand that the images was overlaid, or has it become evident the moment you saw
also
the footage?
Guten Tag. Ich freue
well,
mich auch, dass der
first of all,
nach so vielen Jahren
I would like to say hello, and I'm very happy to have this film screened once again in Berlin after many years.
Beziehung, weil er eben
There is a special link between this film and Berlin, because it was screened at the Berlinale in 1993. And this was a major experience for me. So I'm very happy to have the film screened here. Now, in order to answer your question,
das kann ich gar nicht mehr genau beantworten. Also ich weiß schon,
I'm not sure whether I can answer your question.
Gerade in Mississippi,
I remember that
Jackson,
Mississippi, we shot in Jackson,
Mississippi.
I realized that
oder das ist einfach so eine Spielerei.
The whole situation
Und,
seemed
mir hat das aber ganz
playful,
gut gefallen, weil das natürlich,
maybe
so war das auch immer beabsichtigt,
lacked a bit of seriosity, but
kontrastiert werden sollte
actually that was my intention. I wanted to establish a contrast
Und
between a real
gedacht,
war situation
and
Fortune, the world.
Magazin,
Now,
in Amerika,
wanted to
in Boulder, Colorado, mit denen,
collaborate with a Soldier Fortune, which is a magazine published in Boulder, Colorado, and wanted to travel there with people working for the Mercenary Magazine. Now, what is a Mercenary Magazine? A Mercenary Magazine is a publication dealing with all war zones of the world where you find mercenaries. So this is like Men's Health or so. It's a special journal. Like magazines dealing with cars or sports, and of course you have lots of technical journals or special journals also in the field of the military. And Soldier Fortune is focusing on soldiers a mercenary, so I went to see them and they agreed to accompany me, but then the whole situation changed because in 1990 or 1991 they started preparing for the first Gulf War, which was the biggest concentration of troops since Vietnam. So they were focusing on this particular mission and that's why they did not want to accompany a Munich-based film team to Jackson, Mississippi.
Und, ja, und dann hat sich ja dann im Sommer 91
and in summer, in the summer
in
of 1991
und dadurch kam dann quasi
the war
Aspekt
started in Europe.
Dann dazu, ja.
Also diese Dreierform,
had the dimension of reality.
Trilogie,
ja.
So hat sich ergeben im Laufe des Drehs.
The trilogy has come into being in the course of production.
Das ist eben zu dieser spielerischen, Situation in Jackson, ein reales Kriegsumfeld geben
show
wollte.
The real war next to the more playful situation in Jackson, Mississippi. So initially we wanted to work with Soldier of Fortune, but then we went to French Guiana. In May 1992, because Carl, one of the mercenaries of Part 2,
had been in Suriname,
which is the neighboring country, the country next to Guyana.
Und dann sozusagen
so we wanted
über
to shoot there
gehen,
with Aschenbrenner, and then we wanted to cross the border and enter Suriname in order to check what Carl did in the conflict in Suriname. Now, that was the idea, but it didn't work out. And since we had, since we were halfway through the film, we just sat and waited, and then a new start, a new war began, 5 hours by car away from Munich. Now, how do you get in touch with people like Günter Aschenbrenner? What are the different ways of getting in touch?
Aschenbrenner,
I found by means of a newspaper ad. I placed an ad in the Münchner Abendzeitung, trying to find an ex-mercenary for a film production. And that's when his wife called me, Aschenbrenners wife called me, an interesting person, and she said her husband had an interesting life and actually she wanted to have a book written about him, and we should get in touch. And I placed the same ad in Hamburg,
and I did a kind of mercenary casting, but
this was of course a casting a bit different from what you know from actors. I met several ones of them and I spoke to several ones of them, and I soon realized that Aschenbrenner was definitely the most interesting person.
And Karl,
I met via a journalist who had been in Rhodesia, as it was then called. I think he had worked for Die Welt. And he knew Karl.
And
I got in touch with the journalist because he had written many articles about mercenaries. So he established my link to Liverpool, and we traveled to Liverpool, the three of us. And then Karl said he'd agree and he'd work with me. Surprising. An interesting man, a smart man, both of them. Men who reflect what they do.
Ganz fremd, aber jetzt nicht so fremd wie, also der Täter oder so. Mm-hmm.
They are aliens, but then they are not as alien as also a perpetrator, for example, would be.
Bei den Vorgesprächen mit diesen unterschiedlichen Ex-Legionären.
We prepared the film and talked to a number of former mercenaries.
Noted
Aschenbrenner, because he was different from the others. He was not an arrogant type. There were others who told me about women, about brothels. Before they had finished the first beer, they were showing off a lot, whereas Aschenbrenner is trying hard to speak in a decent way, which you note in particular when he speaks French. And he wants to appear as a person who speaks French well. And such a man is much more interesting for a film. How come that he speaks French? Was it his choice, or are there certain themes he only touches in French?
Das merkt man auch, wenn man, sagen wir mal, die Passagen, in denen er Deutsch redet.
Now you also noted when he speaks German, he has to translate back.
20 Jahre Legion und
he's
auch durch das Leben
been a member of the Legion for 20 years, and the years in the Legion and the years afterwards have him rooted in the French language very much, which means that he always retranslates into German when he speaks German, which means a certain delay in the conversation. So I wanted to avoid the gaps, and I said he may well answer in French. I was surprised to hear that he's married. I mean, that's what he tells at the end of the film. And he did not marry yesterday. He's been married for a long time.
I always thought eine sehr männerdominierte Geschichte ist, beziehungsweise dann diese Bordellaufzüge.
Life in the Legion is
von zu Hause losgeht morgens
a very male thing. It's a man's world, including the brothels, the women. And then it's hard to imagine that someone leaves his wife in the morning in order to go to work and then work in the Legion.
Die Legion ist halt eine Sondereinheit.
Surprising.
Aber
I mean, the Legion is a special unit.
Ist das einfach ein Teil der französischen Armee?
But it's actually part of the French army.
Soldaten.
And the men who work as mercenaries consider themselves
sozusagen morgens zur Truppe und abends
ordinary soldiers, and there are lots of men who leave their homes in the morning, work with the troops in the barracks, and then go home again in the evening. I mean, there is the image of women who say farewell to their husbands who are sent to Afghanistan, and it's dramatic, but in everyday life, in ordinary life, it's nothing special. Well, I don't know any details about the Legion, but the film begins with the training
wo man das Gefühl hat, die leben irgendwie im Busch oder in irgendwelchen Baracken nah dran. Und also
you always think that they are living in
angereist sind. Und dann kommt eben er und dann der Krau, die auch eine besondere
in little huts or so, and then all of a sudden
der Unterschied zwischen einem fremden Legionär, der als
now what about the difference between a mercenary of the Foreign Legion, who is of course protected because he is a member of the French army, and the freelance soldiers who are independent, i.e. without any protection. Now, in the last session here at the conference, we talked about journalists. And there too they said that, of course, if you go to a place on behalf of the New York Times or CBS, you're protected and you have bulletproof vests and armored cars, and then you have the freelancers who are much less protected and who go there. Nevertheless, I mean, what was it like for you, the film team? Did the WDR grant you any protection?
Or
did you just try to find ways and means in order to survive and do what you wanted to do? Now,
sagen wir mal, dargestellt hat, war es eigentlich fast unmöglich,
it was almost impossible to try and get into it in an undercover mood, so to speak.
Als wir dann in Zagreb angekommen sind,
for example,
dann haben wir uns ja mit Karl dort getroffen.
We arrived in Zagreb,
dann von Zagreb
and
nach Gospic,
we
da kann
met
gar nicht
Karl.
Mal,
and if you want
fahren,
to get from Zagreb to Mospic, you have to go along the coast and then you have to go inland. And this is a military zone. You cannot simply go through or drive through. What car did you have? Now, we bought a used car because it did not make sense to rent a car. It was impossible. I mean, you could rent a car, but the insurance would cost much too much. So the idea was to buy a car and then just go there and that's it. And with respect to our protection, now, there was a wonderful editor at the WDR Radio Werner Dütsch is his name, and would like to mention his name because filmmakers in Germany owe him much.
So
Werner Dütsch gave us a paper which stated that we are that we were working on behalf of Westdeutsches Radio, which was not quite true. Now we filmed on 16 millimeters, and it was not possible to rent camera equipment then. So he organized the materials we needed internally in the TV station, and he told us, you must not return without the camera. We had to make sure to bring it back. But then the problem was also to find a team. I'm not sure whether people in this hall remember that there were hit lists, as we called them at the time, i.e. lists with the names of the journalists who had been killed already. Egon Scotland had been killed, for example, who had worked for the Süddeutsche Zeitung. So the situation was getting ever more violent and was cruel even. And it was difficult to find a team to go there. And this, in particular, just before Christmas and over Christmas, I mean, there are lots of German cameramen who have children, families at home, and who would not want to go to the Balkans over Christmas. So it was a bit of a problem to find a team. It was easier to travel to the US and to French Guiana. And what about the insurances? Were you insured? The person? No, you were not. It was your own risk. Yes, it was our own risk. There was a producer based in Berlin, but nobody really assumed the responsibility for us, for the team. Which is interesting, because the cameraman arrived in Munich one day before we were about to travel, because all our attempts to find a cameraman in Germany had failed. And then I called Reichenbach,
a director
who made a film called Bertson Anderson, and he said, why don't you call Raoul Guttard? Maybe he knows what to do. And then I called Guttard, and then he said, well, no problem, I'll send you my assistant.
So
the cameraman who came was the assistant of Raoul Guttard. It was like master and servant. So we traveled to Zagreb, and there we had the sound technician, a man from Hungary, an agency in Munich had helped us find him, because there was no sound man in Germany who agreed to travel to Zagreb with us. Now this man from Hungary did not speak English.
And
we were not sure whether he knew what we were about to do. So it was a conversation like we said, we are going to a place where it makes boom, boom, and would you agree? And he said, yes, yes. So he had his sneakers and we went. We just went. And shot the film. So you came back. You edited the film, and then there was a strange reaction.
Eine
right?
seltsame Reaktion gibt es dann von den Fernsehverantwortlichen, glaube ich auch, aber
I think
vor allem
TV
von
people
der,
reacted in a funny way.
Na, von der
FBB, meinst du?
Genau.
Ach so, ja.
Von der Prüfstelle.
Naja, gut, also als wir zurückgekommen sind, das
and
war
also
ja
other agencies reacted
91.
In a bizarre way.
Und dann habe
now
ich,
we came back in December 1991.
Im Dezember, aber Januar, also
and
ab Januar.
And in December or January.
Wir haben den Film geschnitten.
We started editing.
Und ursprünglich war der Film auch gar nicht auf 3 Stunden geplant.
And initially we had not planned to make a 3-hour film. And here again the editor matters. Because I edited the creation bit first, 60 minutes.
Allen klar, dass der Film keine 90
and everybody knew that this would not be a 90-minute film.
Der Redakteur gesagt, ich soll den einfach mal so schneiden, wie ich das für richtig halte.
We had planned to make a 90-minute film, but it didn't work out. So the editor said, well, you just do what you want to do and what you think is necessary. And that's how we had this 3-hour film in the end. So the TV people agreed, no problem. But then in June 1992, we premiered the film in Locarno. And then, and that's probably what you are referring to, and that was for the distributors in Germany. We had to submit the film to the agency that grants you a permission to screen films in Germany, and there was a vote of 5 against 0 against the film. Now, the reasons are bizarre because they criticize you for not adopting a special stance with respect to what happens because they miss the critical comments. So obviously, they want to have someone who tells people who watch the film, see the man who has just shot another man, and that's bad. I mean, that's childish, isn't it?
Keimansatz kinogerecht.
The agency said
das this is not a film adequate for
movie theaters. It seems to be a film made by amateurs.
Klasse ist in devoter Haltung gegenüber den Interviewpartnern.
And the quality is bad.
Das ist ja schon ein relativ erschütterndes Dokument
an
dieser Stelle.
Kind
die
of shocking,
ist, was hat das denn,
I'd say, this particular
für die,
statement or certificate by the reviewing agency.
What does in der Öffentlichkeit
this,
bedeutet.
Or what did this statement naja, mean for
also
the career of the film
sagen wir mal,
on the silver screen, but also
des,
on television?
Die, die Prädikat
now, the film assessment authority is being paid, and the film is 180 minutes long, so it cost 5,000 Deutsche Marks at the time to have the authority intervene. And this was a problem for the distributors and for us. But then the film had been screened in Locarno, and there was an opportunity to show it at the international in the international forum at the Berlinale. And I talked to Claudius Seidel, who then worked for the Spiegel.
Oder Michael Alten, der damals
or
bei Süddeutschen
Michael
war.
Alten, who then
glaube,
worked with
Kilp,
Süddeutsche and Andreas Kilp,
Filmchef in der
who
Zeit war,
was the head of the film department of Die Zeit. So I sent the assessment of the authority in charge to these journalists and asked them for help.
For me,
it was a drama, but I think the film ja, suffered less from it than I did.
Vielleicht kann man ganz kurz ergänzen,
and maybe in addition,
damals,
you
bei der Vorführung
should
in Berlin,
know that when the film was shown here in Berlin, in the Delphi movie theater for the first time and then in the Academy of the Arts, it was the second screening and the hall was packed. And after the film, someone stood up and said, Mr. Kamaka, I would like to thank you for having made this film. Now I know that you are a fascist. Now that was the attitude people had with respect to my films, also with respect to other films, including the Todmacher film and the assessment of the Filmprüfstelle, the authority question was a similar one. Of course, we had to deal with the situation somehow. And I remember the day of the first screening, the distributor called the Delphi Theater and me and said, you need to buy Die Taz. Niromant was enthusiastic about the film, he said, and Niromant was a journalist who worked with Die Taz, then she works with Die Welt now, so this was, of course, something that helps or helped. Meantime, we've been used to different forms of documentary films, which are very different from what we used to have. The filmmakers try to be invisible and we pretend that we meet reality and that we only record realities with the neutral means. So what we expected from documentaries in the past has changed. We saw Marcel Ophüls film yesterday, and that film was made 2 years before you made your film, i.e. it's also a film which is 20 years old, and he uses feature film sequences and assemblages. And then we saw The Act of Killing, a wonderful American-Indonesian film, which is a huge enactment in order to access the truth or find the truth, i.e. the films today go far beyond the mere documentary material. So a lot has happened in the last 20 years, but I wonder, was there a debate about the form then when you showed the film for the first time, apart from the statement or the non-certificate of the authority? I mean, it was the time of the war in Yugoslavia. People talked about about images and films, what kind of images did they want to see. I'm not quite sure how the media reacted, and I have not consciously worked on the media perception or reaction in view of that film. I only remember that there was no public discussion, no public debate about the film, about the form. There was no debate. And as far as the content is concerned, you have to remember that it had been quite difficult to raise the funds in order to make the film at all. And Eckhard Stein, the boss of the small feature film department of ZDF, said he would not want to show the film because people would know beforehand what they would see in the film and they would not want to waste any materials on such an approach or such a kind of film. And there was the overall or general attitude of people who had been former leftists with respect to the military, and they knew what position they wanted to adopt. They had their positions fixed and in mind. And this has been reflected in many situations where such people have been involved. And when Warheads was screened later, there were also debates about the question whether it's allowed to do it or not. And a similar example would be Thomas Heise's Stau, Jetzt geht's los, and Winfried Bohnenengel's Beruf Neonazi, Neonazi by profession. So mercenaries are Nazis, and Nazis are mercenaries is a bit the approach which was being adopted by many, which is actually a rather naive view at the situation, and the situation has changed afterwards because of the war in former Yugoslavia and also because of the war in Iraq. Now, as far as the form is concerned,
weder seitens, genau, und dann gab es noch mal eine ganz interessante Begegnung bei der Berliner Filmförderung.
An interesting encounter with Erika Grigor and the Berlin-based Film Promotion Agency. They invited me to Berlin. I had to travel from Munich to Berlin and they tried to check my conscience. They wanted to know whether a director with short hair and a pilot's jacket should be allowed to make such a film and show it. But Erika Grigor is Ulrich Grigor's wife. So she was also one of those who had invited the film for the Berlinale screening. Well, I'm not sure whether she was the one who said yes. She was part of the jury, that's true. But it was always about a particular idea of what a political moral should be. As you said, in the beginning, it's difficult to accept that people like the ones shown in my film can just go and talk without being contradicted. So you see the scene in which someone says, we didn't know that the coup d'etat had taken place in Algeria. So then you actually have to include footage which underlines that there was the coup d'etat. And if you don't do so, if you don't contradict your protagonists, you are in favor of what they say and do, and that's the assumption. And there is a typically German approach with respect to documentaries in France, and in no other country of the world, they had difficulties with the film, but here in Germany. Now, of course, if you want to make a film, you have to be interested in the subject matter.
Now,
people tend to be fascinated by films about wars. And the assumption is that people are fascinated by wars. Why? And that's a question for you, too. Well, I don't know how come and why. Maybe because I had to join the French army between 1987 and 88. I was a soldier in the French army. I have a French passport, and that's why I had to join the army, the French army. I lived in Munich, but then I was drafted. I had to go to Trier in Germany because there was a French barracks in Trier. So I became a member of the French army, and a cameraman with whom I worked later gave me a book, Afrikanische Spiele, African Games by Ernst Jünger. Very good book.
Zum ersten Mal erfahren, wie viel, also wie groß der Einfluss der Deutschen in der Fremdenlegion war.
When I read the book, I realized for the first time how influential the Germans had been in the Foreign Legion.
Der Anteil der Deutschen im Unteroffizierkorps.
Aschenberger tells us how many Germans were in his unit during his training in Algeria, 80%. So that's probably one of the reasons that made me think that while I was in Trier, or Sittlich is the name of the place, where there was a second battalion, it might be interesting to make a film about it. But that's, what's the cinematographic dimension of wars? I mean, is it about movement? Is it about hide and seek? Is it about visibility or the urge for action? Or is it the ambivalence in view of the warriors and a certain admiration because of the decisions you take, and these are decisions about life and death? Now, if you deal with film, you know
that
you see many more feature films where soldiers play the main part in England and the US. Here you hardly ever see films
Es hat natürlich auch damit zu tun, dass halt soldiers. England und Amerika Berufsarmeen haben.
Well, this is also due to the fact that England and America have professional armies.
Und insofern
und stolzer auf ihre Armeen sind, oder?
Ja, auf jeden Fall stolzer. Also,
they are certainly also proud of their armies.
Das ist gar kein Vergleich. Also sagen wir mal,
indeed.
Soldaten sind ja auch
but
Teil
the whole situation you cannot compare.
Also
soldiers are also part of PR campaigns.
So
they are presented in a sympathetic way.
Das zweite ist,
nice guys. And that's very different from how they are being presented here.
Ankam, and then when I arrived in Gosbridge,
I was disappointed
das heißt,
not
man
to
wurde
see
so
bombs.
Angefixt auf die Gefahr. Durch alles, also durch die Schwierigkeiten bei der Beschaffung eines
so
Teams oder Zusammenstellung eines Teams, Beschaffung von Material und durch diese ganzen Hitlisten, das dann erstmal irritierend war, zu erleben, dass da nichts passiert. Und da kann ich mich noch gut erinnern, dass ich dann den Redakteur angerufen habe, so fast entschuldigend,
hier ist nichts
los.
And I almost apologized and said, well, actually, nothing is happening here. I don't know what to film.
And he said,
well, then just go and film what you see.
Now,
of course, the situation
ist,
changed later, but
das,
of course, I realized already then that what we
also so erklärte, dass, sagen wir mal,
saw on TV all the time could be explained by the fact that there were about 16 teams driving all over Croatia trying to capture the most spectacular situation. And usually, the spectacular images or pictures taken by one or two teams would enter the TV programs, and that's what we would then see on television in the prime time news, which then is also a distortion of what war is. And of course, if you deal with wars, you know that most of the time nothing happens, and that's actually the worst that can happen. I mean, you are drilled and then you go to an exercise and nothing happens, and that's a problem.
Das da jetzt alles so zu erleben, das war schon ganz interessant.
And it was interesting for me to experience all this, and it's certainly also
zum Beispiel diese eine Szene,
a reason why the film became what it became.
Teil, wo wir dann mit denen da in diese Vorpatrouille,
we also shot
und die
one scene in Croatia
schießen,
with a
gutes Beispiel dafür.
A patrol
nicht richtig,
group.
Wo sie hinschießen.
They are shooting into emptiness. You
nicht.
Don't know
und,
where and at
das
what
würde ich jetzt sagen, ist auch das
at whom they
ja.
shoot.
Im Vergleich zu
and sometimes someone shoots back, and that's the violence of a civil wars and the brutal aspect
also
of the civil war.
Oder so.
Ja.
Wir haben leider gar nicht mehr viel Zeit.
Your interpreter apologizes. This program was meant to end 50 minutes ago. I have to go to another hall. So please bear with me. You will have to follow to the rest of the debate in German.
Mikro, wenn Sie sich das nehmen. Genau.
Ja, ich habe einige Filme von Ihnen gesehen und wollte Sie fragen, wie dieser Film Sie beeinflusst hat für Ihre weitere Arbeit. Mhm. Das interessiert mich sehr, weil ich die sehr beeindruckend finde, vor allem Todmacher und natürlich auch den Film über Himmler.
Also ich denke, also gerade ich habe das jetzt auch gestern wieder gedacht, also ich habe mir den Film nochmal in Vorbereitung für hier auch nochmal angeschaut. Und es gibt ja Passagen mit Aschenbrenner, wo er über seine Zeit auf dem Mururoa-Atoll erzählt und wie er einfach diesen Atompilz beschreibt. Und ich glaube, dass zum Beispiel diese Passage und überhaupt auch später natürlich, wenn Karl da in dem Stuhl, das haben wir in der Küche bei mir in München gedreht, erzählt, ist mir halt aufgefallen, dass die so plastisch erzählen können, dass die sogenannten Bilder hinter den Worten entstehen. Und das ist auf jeden Fall für mich ganz lehrreicher Moment gewesen im Hinblick auf meinen ersten Spielfilm Der Todmacher, wo ich wusste, dass wenn, sagen wir mal, der Schauspieler das Zerstückeln einer Leiche so beschreibt, wie Hamann das macht, man sich eigentlich sehr genau vorstellen kann, was mit einer Leiche passiert und ich deswegen eigentlich auf die Darstellung der Zerlegung einer Leiche verzichten kann. Also das ist definitiv angelegt in dem einfach in der Narrativstruktur von Warheads. Und das kann man natürlich dann fortsetzen bis hin zu, sag ich jetzt mal, Manfred Zapatka, ein Himmler-Projekt. Und zwar die Verbindung mache ich jetzt zwischen dem Bierglas von Günter Aschenbrenner. Mir ist halt aufgefallen, dass er sein gekühltes Bier da stehen hat. Und das ist wie so ein Arbeitstool für ihn, das braucht er. Und bei Himmler-Projekt haben wir ja auch dem Zapatka als einziges Element ein Wasserglas in dem Dekor stehen lassen, weil wir gesagt haben, dass es ein Arbeitsmittel des Schauspielers ist, im Gegensatz zum Mikro, was nicht im Bild zu sehen ist. Und das Mikro wiederum ist Teil des Arbeitsequipments der Regie. So. Also solche Sachen kann man auf jeden Fall in Verbindung bringen. Hm. Ja.
Mhm.
Ja.
Da habe ich also eine sehr starke Spannung entstanden. Mhm. War das gewollt oder war das?
Also das war sozusagen im Schneideraum gewollt. Aber das war, natürlich haben wir mit Ton gedreht, aber also es ist fast so eine Zwangsläufigkeit. Also sagen wir mal, wenn wir den O-Ton genommen hätten, dann hätte man einfach nur Autobrummen oder sowas gehört, wahrscheinlich auch noch verzerrt. Dann gäbe es ja die Möglichkeit, vielleicht einen Text also in Off zu legen, was ich definitiv nicht machen wollte, um die Aufmerksamkeit auf diese Häuser und die Bilder nicht zu zerstören. Und Musik kommt sowieso nicht in Frage. Also für mich dann die einzige Konsequenz stumm. Ja.
Ja. Hm. Ja, dann wird das sehr eindringlich.
Ja, genau. Ja.
Omar Kanaka, ich danke Ihnen, danke dir sehr, dass du da warst. Ja. Danke Ihnen, dass Sie da waren und zugehört haben und habe noch eine Ansage zu machen in Vertretung der Veranstalter, die mich baten, Sie darauf hinzuweisen, dass Almut Zilcher und Lars Eidinger um 18 Uhr hier eine Lesung machen zum Thema Krieg. Wenig anders zu erwarten in dieser Veranstaltung. Herzlichen Dank und ich wünsche Ihnen einen schönen Abend.